Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
Home Times Radio. Wanted to welcome everyone here. Thank you so much for showing up and getting ready to have a great time this evening, because I have some great information I want to share. I also want to thank those who are coming back for more. Yes, I must be doing something right if I'm having this many people come back. I really, really appreciate all of you out there who are continuing to send me messages and to give me ideas, thoughts, and feedback on the show. And for viewers coming here for the first time, I also want to say thank you. Thank you for entrusting me with your evening. A little bit about me and what I do. I have a business called Positive Control Systems, and it is a crisis intervention business, which was founded over 20 years ago. And I work a lot of times very strongly with the troubled youth industry. I teach the staff members how to better communicate with the youth. I have two different programs which I teach. One which utilizes pain compliance, usually with the more violent youth that have more physical outbursts. And then I also have one which is not, it's actually a much more gentle version, which I use with different populations. These different populations are the groups or the types of youth that are being worked with these different organizations. For example, if you have one that, say, a 6'2" Polynesian young man who's very strong, weighs about 280 pounds, I don't want to be using my more gentle program with him, simply because if it does come to a physical altercation, I want to be able to have something that's very effective in being able to deal with a physical outburst if, for example, he's in a drug and alcohol rehab situation and he's starting to have some anger issues. We want to be able to have some very effective physical skills to deal with it. If we're instead dealing with smaller youth, say, for example, eating disorders, and it's a young lady who might weigh 105 pounds, we're not going to need something that's going to be created for these larger, more dangerous individuals, more violent youth, okay? Now, this has not just been used with youth. I've also used with adult drug and alcohol rehab facilities. I've used it with hospitals, used it with law enforcement, used it with military as well as ex-military as well as military individuals, because these techniques work so well. Now, it's not just the physical stuff. No. Physical is a last resort. Last resort after you've exhausted all of your other options. We focus on being able to build rapport, to build a relationship, to have a connection with this person, to be able to learn to communicate more effectively in our lives. And that also means being able to look in ourselves and find out where we personally have our own issues. When we can figure out what those issues are and we can then be able to process through them, we can then be able to be more available for other people. I love the words of Mahatma Gandhi in that we must become the change we want to see in the world. Because in being this change that we want to see in the world, this helps us to be able to be that example that we oftentimes don't find out there. If you want someone to be an example to you, maybe you should be an example first to someone else. Being a father, a single dad with five children, I have found raising my children by myself for the past 8 years, having been divorced almost 9 years now, I have found that being that example is more important than ever. I have made plenty of mistakes. I have learned, I've grown, I have adapted, and I have become a much, much better dad. I have spoken with family members that have watched this transformation of mine over the years, and it's like, whoa, you're such a good dad. Your kids are so good. And I said, well, they're good kids. I think all kids are good kids or have the potential to be good kids. It's also the parents and how they're communicating. Because of that, and because of the skills that I've learned and I've been able to research and study and then apply in my life, I've also found that the skills that I teach to these troubled youth industries are not always available to the general public. I have recently finished a program called the Empowered Parent Program. And the Empowered Parent Program is going to be teaching parents some of these same skills that I teach in my troubled youth facilities, as well as law enforcement, medical practitioners, etc., teaching these skills so that way parents have more tools, better tools, to be able to work with their teenagers. Now, does this mean it doesn't work with younger children? No, actually it works with pretty much any age. However, they have to be able to cognitively understand what's being said. So if you tell them, okay, there's a consequence for what you've done, if they're 1 year old, it's going to be a bit hard for them to understand. If they're able to understand, though, I worked with mine as young as 4 years old. No worries at all. I've worked with my youngest son. He's turning 11 this year. No issues at all for the past 6 years been working with him, and these skills have worked just beautifully. No worries at all. Okay, so these skills are, to me, universal communication skills. They work with anyone. They work anywhere. Yes, the body language areas and portions may modify with the culture you're in. And yet, for the most part, these communication skills can be used in pretty much anywhere else in the world. They are communication skills for humans. We have certain things that we do. We tend to make eye contact, or we will have body language which will communicate certain aspects, whether it is not making direct eye contact, you're going to look at people. Some places you may shake hands, other places you may bow. It doesn't matter. Those are nuances which can be added later, but the rest of these things are learning to be able to ask questions, learning how you can be able to connect with this person, finding what you have in common. These things, what I call uncommon common sense, don't seem to be taught too much anymore. And so I changed that. I started teaching them, and now parents are getting the great results because of it. And then I decided, you know what, I need to get this out to everybody else, which is now one of my goals by the end of the year to be able to have this program out. There will be a 6-hour video, combination of videos, I should say, 6 hours worth of video material that will be available for parents as they go through a workshop that will be online. If you want to come to a live workshop, great. I have not yet set any dates for that, but if you're interested, go ahead. You can message me on Facebook, Matthew Cooper, MATTHEWCOOPER in Lehigh. That's LEHI, Utah. You can go ahead to my Facebook page. You can go ahead and ask any questions, message me. I would love to chat with you, and I can get you some more information on the workshops which I teach. All righty. Let's go back to what's going on today. What are we going to talk about? How many of you have heard of Earl Nightingale? Earl Nightingale was a radio personality, and if you want to call him kind of one of the front runners for the self-help industry back in the 60s area. And this gentleman has been an inspiration to me over the years. I had first heard of him before I even heard of Anthony Robbins. Then I heard of Anthony Robbins, like, oh, this guy's great. And I didn't think much about Earl Nightingale for years after I'd already listened to him. Like, oh, he's got some good stuff. But Anthony Robbins, oh, he's got some good stuff. Oh, no, Wayne Dyer, he's got some – oh, these guys, all these – Mark Victor Hansen, for example, all these guys, great stuff. All these people have some wonderful stuff. The funny part is, though, a lot of them, they also listened to Earl Nightingale when they were younger. So that's where they drew a lot of their ideas from, which is why it was such great stuff. Now, Earl Nightingale was personal friends with Dr. Maxwell Maltz, who wrote the book Psycho-Cybernetics, which is also pretty groundbreaking in the health or the mental and emotional and the health industries, and being able to recognize that we have a conscious, to a point anyway, a conscious control over our minds and how we respond to things. And it's our outlook and the perspective that we have that allows us to be able to shape the life that we have. The work of Mr. Maltz also was very influential, I'm sure, on the work of, it was NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and the gentleman's name, there's two of them. Give me a moment here and I shall remember. It'll come to me in just a few moments. Just because I love this stuff. Like, I have so many names. Okay, which one is it? Which one is it? Richard Bandler. Yes, Richard Bandler and John Grinder. Those are the two gentlemen. They were the fathers of NLP. However, even though they had a lot of information from some of the early psychologists and psychotherapists, Virginia Satir is one of them, they still, I'm sure, were drawing from information that Dr. Maltz found. Dr. Maltz was a plastic surgeon back in the 1950s, and he found some fascinating things about how the brains work and the patients that he had over the years and how they were responding to the changes in their life. You may say, okay, what does this have to do with what we're talking about tonight? Everything. What I'm talking about with all of these people and everything they're speaking about is attitude. Attitude. What do you mean attitude? Attitude. What is your attitude? Well, what do you mean by attitude? Whether I'm happy or sad? Yeah, that's a big part of it. What is your attitude? How do you view yourself and how do you interact with the world? By being able to understand where you're at with your own personal, if you will, place where you're coming from for feeling, emotional. If you want to go into spiritual, you can also tie those all together, mental, emotional, and spiritual, that place that you're coming from. What is your attitude? And the attitude, I'm using the word that Earl Nightingale liked to talk about. He spoke about how in dealing with a person's attitude, he said it's the most important word that people would use in order to be able to live successfully. If you look at these people out there that are doing well, whether it's going to be financially, whether it's going to be in their families, whether it's going to be in their spiritual group or church group, wherever they're going to be, it's their attitude that sets them apart from everyone else that isn't doing as well. Look, for example, at a individual who has an exuberant and energetic idea, if you will. They have this countenance that shows, hey, I'm interested in you and where things are going. Are you going to want to talk to them? Or the person that looks like, I don't know, they're having a really bad day and they're depressed? It makes a big difference. Stick around, having a break. Be right back in just a few moments.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Back, this is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Program on OM Times Radio. Now, why do you think I talk about the Positive Communication Program? Why would I say positive communication? It's just communication, right? Well, no, we're talking about attitude, right before the break. Remember this? Attitude. Attitude, the way that you are acting, the way that you are interacting with people around you will be able to set you apart, if you will, from others that don't have the same attitude. Whether that attitude is positive or negative, it will set you apart. Have you heard that attitude, or your attitude is your altitude? Have you heard that as well? Whether you are quite high or very low, whether you are seeming to be happy and excited about what's going on in the world versus being depressed and in the doldrums and not able to even lift your head up off your pillow because you're so depressed. Those issues are out there. Yes, they are out there. They are an issue, they're a problem. They're something that plagues people around the world. However, it's not just a plague. It's also something that we, to a point, have a lot of control over. Yes, I understand there are some conditions that are out there. I understand personally because I have some of those issues where I'm up and down. All right? I think everybody has ups and downs. Some of us may have a little bit more high ups or may a little bit lower downs. Sometimes this cycle may last longer than others. And other times, when we can keep our minds focused, when we have something that is going to be able to help us, to drive us forward, it makes a huge difference in our attitude. For example, I mentioned last week about some of the work that I do with my martial arts and my instructors. I was talking to one of my martial arts masters and then also one of my other instructors that I go to on a regular basis. Another great thing tomorrow noon, I have a meeting with the Grandmaster, with the master of my system. I'm so excited. I get to have another private lesson with him. The man is fantastic. He's like a father to me, and I am part of his family. He is a mentor, and he's someone that I look up to, someone that I see as an example to how I can be acting and being with other people, because he has this incredible, I want to say charisma, but it's also this patience, this, it's like a deep, I'm looking for the right word. He has this peacefulness within him, this harmony which he exudes in the way he looks at you, the way that he accepts you completely for how you are right now. There is no tolerance within him, because to tolerate is also to reject a small part of. He simply accepts you for how you are, where you're at, and the person that you are. And the serenity, that was the word I was looking for. He has a serenity about him, even though he's human. I'm sure he has his own issues, his own challenges, his own problems, and yet the serenity which he has around him, he wears like a cloak. It allows him to influence others around him in a tremendous way. So I just personally, I love the man. He is, like I said, a father to me, a father figure to me, and I'm looking very much forward to having this class with him. Back to what we were talking about before I was sidetracked. The attitude. We all have our own challenges, as I mentioned. When you have these challenges, though, do you allow those to bring you down and keep you down? I was mentioning some classes I'd had with another master as well as an instructor that I work with from my own personal training. And they were talking about how it seems from their own personal experiences and seeing where I'm at that I had a lack of satisfaction in my world, in my life. There was not the fulfillment that I've had in the past. They pointed out some things, which I'm very happy to say. It's been a couple of weeks now. I am stoked about some of the changes. We talked about in our family, our martial system, we have a certain symbol, a family symbol, which then describes you and how your life is, whether you are having the balance that you need for health, mental, emotional, and spiritual, financial, relationships, all these things, different areas of your own health, or are you drawn to one way too far or another? If you get drawn one way or another too far, you become out of balance and it prevents you from being able to progress in those other areas. When you bring yourself back into balance, you feel energized, you feel interest, you feel excited again. And that's what I'm experiencing. Very, very excited about this. And part of that is an attitude. Now, it's not just an attitude of I'm excited. No, it can also be an attitude of being able to be a student, an attitude of being able to be teachable, an attitude of I am willing to do what it takes to be able to make this work. Does that sound logical, reasonable, possibly? I think it does. I feel that if I am able to have that perspective of I'm going to make this work and I'm going to do what is necessary to be successful with it, I'm going to have a better response and a better reaction from others around me than I would if I didn't have that same perspective. If we're wanting to get something out of life, it depends on what we're putting into it. And with this idea of attitude, okay, it will determine our fate, our success, our future. And the dictionary defines attitude as a noun meaning position, disposition, or manner with regard to a person or thing. How are we with our attitude towards other people? How are we towards our attitude with our spouse, our friends, our job, our business, our relationship with the divine? How is our attitude helping us or hurting us? In a past relationship, a girlfriend mentioned, well, you're always seeming to blame other things or other people for what's going on. And it was as if she had hit me with a 2x4. It was as if she just took this board and smacked me in the head. I had not realized that I was doing that. I hadn't realized how much I was blaming others for my mishaps. One of my military buddies, he was joking the other day because he was we were working out at the Marshall School, and he was mentioning that, oh, sorry, he had let a couple of F-bombs drop in the colorful, very, very colorful language. And he said, sorry, that's just the military. I just got back from National Guard drill, and we complain. That's one of the things we do best. And it hit me like, oh, man, I hadn't thought of that. Having spent that time in the military, what kind of habits did I pick up that might not have been as appropriate or as positive for my future? And if attitude is one of those, which it is, it's true. Military guys, if you want somebody who complains constantly, just look at the NCOs, the non-commissioned officers. Look at the NCOs and say, okay, what's wrong? Oh, and they'll just fill your ears full of everything that's wrong under the sun and the problems and who's to blame. And I just have to giggle. I have to laugh. I hadn't realized just how much, yeah, we complained a lot. And that's not appropriate. That is not beneficial to us. And it's not going to make us better people. If we want to change what's going on with us, if we want to change our outcome, we have to change what's coming in first. And we have to change how we are thinking, our internal areas. And then once we change our internal, then we have to be able to change what we're putting out for the rest of the world. I look at it as if we have a radio station on land, of course, you know, the old-fashioned FM, AM type. With those radio stations, a more primitive, not as advanced as, of course, this radio station, which is absolutely awesome. With those old radio stations, there was a radio signal which would be sent out, almost like a wave, if you will. And as that is sent out, it's constantly being transmitted and broadcast. And other radio towers can now pick that up and rebroadcast it or send a message back instead. It can pick it up, translate it, or it can send it back. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because we as humans are also like these radio towers. We are transmitting information constantly into the world around us. We are constantly communicating with what we wear, how we smell, how we look from a distance, the hair type, hair color, piercings, tattoos, anything else we may have about us. This is all being communicated constantly to the world around us and to people in our lives. Are we communicating to the people in our lives and everyone around us, are we communicating the message that we want communicated. Because if we're not having that message that we want communicated, maybe we better change what we're transmitting then. We are the only ones who can change that. We're the only ones who have the ability to change what it is that we're doing. Ever heard of, when you're talking about people changing, okay, nobody can change anyone else without their permission. Really important, without their permission. That's a big piece. And it's the attitude that we have that can allow us to be able to have the right changes, if we're wanting to make changes, to improve ourselves, to make ourselves better. All right? And with that information, with that, if you will, the attitude we have, oftentimes we get back what we give out. We get back in a sometimes even a larger measure. What we give out, we oftentimes get back in larger amounts. Try it with a smile. If you have a genuine big smile, and you smile at someone and say, "Hi, how are you?" How often do they just ignore you? Then again, if you're looking pretty goofy, that may happen occasionally. I know I look a bit goofy when I say it sometimes. "Hey, how's it going?" But 9 times out of 10, maybe 8 times out of 10, if I really am making an effort to connect with that person, I say, "Hi, how are you?" I am honestly interested in them. I will get that much back and more from that person by my attitude, my willingness, my openness to talk to them. By me taking that time, that attitude changes everything. How else can we improve our attitude? Because if we're not going to change our attitude, how can we expect anyone else to change theirs? I would say you don't have to. You shouldn't. Shouldn't expect anyone to change their attitude if you're not willing to change yours. Because as Mahatma Gandhi said, we must become the change we want to see. We have a choice. Stick around. Back right after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio. every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Back, this is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on Om Times Radio. A quick segue, really quick. How many of you have read the Om Times magazine for this week? Okay. Judy Van Niekerk, I believe that's how it's pronounced. I would recommend everyone read this, especially ladies. Very empowering, the story. It's also disheartening that this happens in the world, and yet it's empowering to know that she was able to have so much strength internally to be able to deal with the issues. I mean, she talks about how she was pretty much literally incarcerated by her father and then sexually abused, and as she grew older, eventually raped. And it was horrible. It sounded like it was absolutely horrible to be able to deal with. And then she eventually was able to escape when she was in her early 20s. And she has been in Ireland, went to London, South Africa, and she's been able to create this tremendous life out of having all those issues. And one of the main things that helped her to do that was to have forgiveness, which then was able to translate in her life into success. And because of that, she's been able to do a number of different things. I would highly recommend, please go ahead, take a look at what's going on, look at what she's done, look what she has achieved. The article is a wonderful one. So I would recommend everybody, if you can, go ahead, listen to Om or look at the Om Times magazine and be inspired by this woman. I mean, she did some great things. So I'd highly recommend you go ahead and take a look at that. So anyway, continuing with what we spoke about earlier, talking about attitude. Okay, and how we oftentimes we get out what we give, and sometimes we get out more than we give. Being able to have your attitude change can drastically change the way that you are communicating with people in your life. I mean, it's tremendous. It's not even funny just how much of a change can happen very quickly. I myself have noticed that if I am talking to someone, a client, for example, that if it's in a class, in a workshop, and I'm noticing that somebody, one of these clients of mine, is not able to understand what's going on, I can look for the furrowing of the brow. I can notice the head being tilted back, possibly tilted to the side with a look of question on their face. I can ask more questions. I can change what I'm doing to make sure that they are able to understand what message I am putting out. One of the things that I teach, one of the concepts, is that the message that we give out, okay, we're responsible for that message. And the essentially the end result or the end message that's being given to that person, if it is not understood, it is not their responsibility. It is not their fault. It is our responsibility to make sure that we change our message until it's understood for the other person to understand. And if you have a grumpy attitude or defensive or irritated, it's going to change the entire tone of how you're able to connect with this person. Whereas, if you're patient, if you're open, you're interested, and you are taking the time to demonstrate that, yes, I am concerned with how you are doing with this training, whether or not you are getting the information, whether or not it's making sense to you, that translates as, oh, I care. Yeah, my attitude means I care. And when you can show that to someone that you care in a respectful way, it has to be done in a respectful way, not a condescending way, it's a respectful way, it can change how they treat you and change the way that they deal with you. I had a gentleman give me a call a couple weeks back. He'll be coming to my October training for the crisis intervention. He deals with adults. I think they are lower functioning adults up in Alaska. And he's had some challenges with the program that they're using, or the crisis intervention program they're using presently. And it's not working for them. When their staff are being attacked, they need something that's going to work better. When I was able to talk to him, learn more about his problem, show him that I cared, and then propose different options, being able to propose these different changes that could happen, things that I could do to help him, he was so excited. I sent him an invoice. It came back almost immediately paid, so he could pay online. He was so excited that I understood him. I listened to him. I cared. It's amazing how many people don't seem like they care. Or if they do care, it's only for themselves. When we're able to show others that we care, we're able to influence them and become a part of their life. They also become a part of our life. We accept them into, if you will, this bubble around us, where we normally keep out those that we don't want. We don't want to take the effort. But if you're truly interested in working with someone, if you're truly interested in spending time with someone, you will allow them in. You will go out of your way to make time for that person so you can spend time with them. This is hugely important for relationships, whether it's your partner, your spouse, your children, with your extended family. Do you keep connection with them? Do you talk to them on a regular basis? I know you're busy. I know you're busy. I'm busy. I think everyone's busy. Question is, are we too busy to be able to focus on those things which are most important to us? Or at least I think should be more important to us. We get caught up in our work, our business, our job. And sometimes we say, well, hey, it's important that I make a paycheck too. It's important that I'm able to bring home the dough. Yeah, it is. And yet, if you're willing to sacrifice what you're doing, if you're willing to sacrifice your time and your efforts to be able to get that paycheck, if you're willing to sacrifice your family for it, if you're willing to sacrifice your health for it, willing to sacrifice your happiness for it, is it really worth it? I personally don't think so. I think that if we are really wanting to have that happiness, if we're really wanting to be able to do that, I think having an income and being able to take care of your family is very important. It's extremely important. However, what is our priority and how are we doing it? There was a story that the Dalai Lama told that when he was asked that what surprised him most about humanity, he answered, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health, and he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present, the result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die, and then he dies having never really lived. You, I'm sure, have heard the old expression, stop and smell the roses. Okay? Stop and smell the roses. Stop and smell the coffee. I don't care what it is you're smelling, as long as it's something that is good to you, that you enjoy smelling. We need to stop and take the time to enjoy that which is around us. It doesn't mean we stop striving towards being better. It doesn't mean that we stop striving to be able to provide for ourselves, our future, our family. No, it means we need to stop sometimes and take a breath. It can be meditation. I love meditation. Absolutely love it. It is the calming serenity that I need that lasts for hours in my day. It helps to ground me. It helps to calm my mind. The Chinese call it the monkey mind, that gets just so full of information. It's bouncing around. If I want to calm that down, meditation is my best friend. It also, believe it or not, helps my attitude. Yes, meditation helps my attitude. Our attitudes are something that we can control. They are something ultimately that we're the only ones who can control it. I don't know if you've heard of Victor Mendel. I believe it's Victor Mendel. I'd double check on the book. Man's Search for Happiness. This book is heartbreaking and yet it's fantastic. By being able to understand how we're able to interact with the world around us, it's based on what we choose to focus on. When we're able to have that understanding, that recognition of how we're able to view something or how we're able to internalize it, it makes all the difference in the world. It wasn't Viktor Frankl. That was it. Man's Search for Meaning, Not Happiness. My apologies. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a prisoner of war over in the death camp of the Nazis over in Auschwitz. He went from a couple of different ones, and I think it was Auschwitz where he was – his last one where he was eventually rescued by the Americans. Narrowly missing death, his wife having died over in one of those concentration camps, as well as other friends, other family, and people that he knew. I mean, he was a Jew, and he was treated so horribly, and yet he was a psychologist, and the experiences that he had radically transformed him when he was going through these horrible experiences. He was able to change the way that he had his attitude towards people around him. Instead of seeing how everything was horrible, how life was just something that was happening to him and that it was horrible and bad and everything else that could go wrong, he chose to look at it differently. He chose to accept it differently. He chose to change the way he felt, his attitude about what was happening. Not only was he strong enough to survive, he was able, I'm sure, to help others. And then once he got out, he was able to change the life, I'm sure, of millions of people or more from how he's been able to write this book. I'm sure it was. Stick around. Be back right after the break. Just a few moments.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Om Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Greetings, fellow soul travelers. This is Dr. Amelia Kemp with OM Times Radio. If you've been stressed mentally or emotionally, then join me on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy show, where you'll learn you're not sick, you're sacred. And by aligning with the soul is what makes you whole.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper on OM Times with the Positive Communications Show. Oh, neat stuff. I was going through some quotes from the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. I had forgotten just how powerful the book was, and it was also so very apropos, very proper for what we're going through right now when we're talking about attitude. One thing that it's just so awesome, some of these quotes I'm going to share with you. If you have not read the book, please do. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor, that's V-I-K-T-O-R, Frankl, F-R-A-N-K-L. Go to Amazon, go to any bookstore, really, they should have a copy of this book. It's a small book, not much, but it is so, so, so powerful. One of the quotes here is, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. How often do we have situations that we're in that we just want to complain about? I know I have. I've done it many times. And it's one of the things that I'm constantly working to stop doing, to take accountability for what's going on as much as I can, and then be able to work through me and change for those things that I can't have the physical ability to change. I can't change somebody else. I can never change somebody else. I can change how I feel about that person and the attitude which I have. The next quote, which I thought was very, very beautiful. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. That is the power of attitude. We can choose how we are going to act in these different ways. Viktor Frankl, I remember in the book, he was working on a work crew at Auschwitz, and some of these guards were wanting to be nice. They were trying to be as humane and nice as possible. Others, they were monsters. The way they treated the people, they were bullies that enjoyed the pain they could cause on these prisoners. And what Viktor chose to do is to see them as people, not as a group. They did not become numbers just the way that Viktor was tattooed with a number. No, they became people. They became individuals. And he was able to relate to them individually rather than it's the guards against us. No, it's this certain person, this certain guard by this name, this human. He was this way. And by being able to change his attitude, it made a huge difference in his life. Have you heard of the attitude of gratitude? That's also very, very important. I'm revisiting that in my own life and realizing, you know what, I haven't shown as much gratitude as I should for the things that have gone right, for what I do have. And that was something that woke me up a while back to say, you know what, that's something I can do even more, and I'm going to begin incorporating that into my daily routine. It doesn't take long. A change of your attitude doesn't have to be a monumental change. Sometimes it can be something small. I mentioned in previous shows the term Kaizen. Kaizen means smaller incremental changes or improvements. It's a Japanese term, and yet one that originates here in the United States. Because of the gentleman, I don't have his name at this moment, the gentleman who went over to Japan after World War II when we were able to bring some factories and different teachings on what we do with technology. Essentially, we're going to rebuild Japan since we destroyed it, and we're going to make them our ally. All right, cool. Well, one of the things that they learned very, very well is Kaizen. They made it part of their culture, these small incremental changes or improvements. And if you look at Toyota, Mitsubishi, Honda and these different companies for many years, and even still, they have focused on these small changes rather than big giant changes. A few years back, I want to say it was Toyota, they tried to expand too far, too fast with one of their newer presidents or vice presidents or one of their directors. And they lost that focus. They had to pare back, get refocused, and rebuild what they had lost so they can continue. The Japanese don't focus on a couple of years down the road. They don't even focus on 10 years. They focus on 100 years down the road, what's going to happen. And they plan for it. They plan it out. How often do we do that? Their attitude is that we're going to be here and we're going to keep on being here. We're going to be the best that we can do. We're going to make a change and make a serious change in the world. How do we focus on our future? What are we doing to ensure that we're going to have this attitude of success for the future? I'm not talking financial success. That's part of it, of course. We have to have money to be able to do certain things. The internet. That allows us to listen to this, the mobile device or the computer. Okay, we had to have these. They cost money, yes. And yet, without having the other areas of our life that are also being fulfilled, we're not going to be able to have that feeling, that attitude of happiness. We're not. It's really interesting. Viktor Frankl, another quote from his book, "Don't aim at success," he says. The more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you are going to miss it. For success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue, and it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, or as the byproduct of one's surrender to a person other than oneself. Happiness must happen. And the same holds for success. You have to let it happen by not caring about it. I want you to listen to what your conscience commands you to do and go on to carry it out to the best of your knowledge. Then you will live to see that in the long run, I say, success will follow you precisely because you had forgotten to think about it. Same with happiness. If you're pursuing money, you're going to lose. You're going to miss out. I'm not saying don't focus on money. Oh, no. You have to make sure that you're able to pay your bills, to, if you want to go on vacations, heck yeah, go on vacations, do all those fun things. However, if it is what consumes your life, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's gambling. I don't care if it's alcohol. I don't care if it's hanging out with your friends. I don't care if it's playing games online. I don't care what it is. Whatever you do that's consuming you, that, if it's going to be consuming you, is not going to balance you, and you are not going to be able to find that happiness and that success which you are so desperately seeking. I had a girlfriend that her two main goals were happiness and to have fun. Well, to me, happiness is a goal. You can't find it. Just as he said here, just as Mr. Frankl said, if you are pursuing it, you will not be able to find it. You're going to miss it. It has to be a byproduct of what you are doing and the dedication you have to a cause or something that's greater than yourself. What are you doing to give back to the world? How are you making that difference with your fellow humans? If you can't answer that, then maybe you need to start doing some soul searching, meditate a bit, listen to your higher self, listen to the universe, listen to the divine which is in you. Ask these questions. However, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. Are you ready for that answer? If you're not ready for it, don't ask for it. If you're truly wanting to learn, though, ask yourself, ask your higher self. And you will be able to get an answer. If you are looking from a religious standpoint, then ask God, ask the Spirit, ask Allah, ask Buddha, ask for the saints or whomever, whatever is going to inspire you. ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. When you're asking these questions, you will receive answers. I've noticed this over and over and over. If I am open and I meditate and I quiet my mind, the answers are there already. Making a difference in your life and the life of those around you is possible. What are you doing to achieve this? What are you doing to make this possible and have this in your life? These things are possible, and you can make these differences. However, just like Mahatma Gandhi said, we must become the change we want to see in the world. Why do I use that quote? Because it's a great quote. It is so accurate. If we want to do something, if we want to see something in the world happen and it's not happening, who's to blame? Us. So get out there and do it. Make the difference. Do it yourself. Be the example, because you can't always wait for someone else to do it first. Sometimes an example is no more than just taking that first step, starting to. Others, without even realizing it, may see what's going on, and they may take 3 or 4 steps. They may far outpace you. However, you were the impetus. You were that chemical reaction that started first. You were the catalyst that allowed it to now reach that tipping point to now, okay, it started. It's working. It's moving forward. Life is like that. Life is moving forward. Are we choosing to sit here and complain about others, or are we going to choose to change our attitude, to move forward, to be somebody that can make a difference in the world? That's my choice. I choose to do so. I encourage you to do the same. And if you're already doing it, great. Keep it up. If you're not, well, take a look at your life and see if that's something that you'd like to do. Come back next week. I'll be here. I will see you then.